This is Lawrence Spivak inviting you to Meet the Press.
Meet the Press is brought to you by Sperry Rand, the people who do a lot of things and do each one better because they do all the rest, the synergistic people.
You might call this ground fog, but pilots call it marginal visibility. And what you're about to see is a 70-ton jet liner being guided in by a Sperry Rand flight control system. A system that sees when the pilot can't. There's another time when good visibility is a problem. In the morning, early, when millions of Remington electric shavers, also made by Sperry Rand, are guided along millions of sleepy faces. So you see, at Sperry Rand, we're synergistic. We do a lot of different things. One day we fly a plane. The next day we shave a face. Wait to see what we do tomorrow.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is the newly elected chairman of the Democratic National Committee, former Postmaster General Lawrence F. O'Brien. A leading political strategist, Mr. O'Brien played a major role for the Democrats in the last three presidential campaigns. We'll have the first questions now from Paul Duke of NBC News.
Mr. O'Brien, you've assumed command of a party that's deeply in debt, deeply divided, faced with a resurgent Republican Party and a popular Republican president. Now, these are severe problems. I'd like your solution to some of these problems. First, the debt. Would you tell us how you plan to clear up this $8 million debt?
Well, Mr. Duke, we intend to make a massive effort to communicate with Democrats across this nation, Democrats of modest means, in the hope and expectation that they will participate with us in discharging this debt. We're going to be seeking $15 a year sustaining memberships, $10, $5, and even a dollar. Polls show that most Americans are willing to participate in the political action in this manner. We'll be utilizing media. We'll be utilizing direct mail. And I might just take this opportunity to suggest to our viewers that we will gladly accept any contributions. Democratic National Committee, Washington, D.C. Treasurer Strauss, Bob Strauss, is here in the studio with me.
Now, you've also said that the party cannot afford the luxury of being fragmented, but the divisions are deep. How do you propose to heal these divisions?
We have divisions and have historically been confronted with divisions in our party. I do not consider those divisions deep in the sense of inability to heal. And I look to an ongoing, viable national party, and I want to emphasize national. This will be a party, as it has been in the past, once again, a party encompassing all elements of our society, all areas of our nation. And the doors are wide open, and we are going to be encouraging repeatedly participation by everyone of goodwill.
Mr. O'Brien, in the face of all your adversity, you've also forecast a dramatic increase in Democratic support this year and more victories in the elections in November. How can you be so optimistic?
I think for two reasons. One, we should remember that the 1968 election was a horse race. It was decided by a margin of 0.4%. We have strong support in a Democratic Congress. We have outstanding candidates at all levels across the country this fall, and we, in my opinion, have the issues.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be back with Meet the Press and more questions for our guest, Lawrence O'Brien, in just a minute, but first, this message.
When a car or a truck has served its purpose, it goes to a place like this, where it is picked up and squeezed by a Vickers hydraulics unit, a unit capable of creating over 2 million pounds of pure crush, a unit that converts steel trucks into steel bales. Vickers, a leader in hydraulics, is part of Sperry Rand. A UNIVAC computer, also part of Sperry Rand, keeps tabs of this chicken. And millions more on giant poultry farms. It figures the cost of raising each bird within 4 decimal points. At Sperry Rand, we're synergistic. We do a lot of different things.
One day we crush a truck. The next day we automate the farm.
Wait till you see what we do tomorrow.
Now back to Meet the Press, an unrehearsed press conference. Here's our moderator, Lawrence Spivak.
Resuming our interview on Meet the Press, our guest today is the new chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Lawrence F. O'Brien. You've just met Paul Duke of NBC News. The other questioners on our panel today are David S. Broder of the Washington Post, Robert Novak of the Chicago Sun-Times, and Charles W. Bailey of the Minneapolis Tribune. We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Broder.
Mr. O'Brien, as you know, Judge Carswell's nomination to the Supreme Court is up before the Senate. A short time ago, the Democratic Policy Council formally urged opposition to it. Are you intending to make that a matter of party policy and party position?
Well, I have a personal view in this area. I have been national chairman for a week, but I hope that does not mean that I cannot express an opinion. I'm rather depressed by this administration's approach and its appointments. I certainly feel that the president has every right to appoint a strict constructionist, if that is his desire, or recommend that appointment to the Senate. I think the Senate, in turn, has every right to review it. And in my judgment, there are many outstanding jurists in the South. And it seems to me that the problem that the president has faced over the last several months in this area for some reason or other, he insists on mediocrity. And I just state my view, and that is strict constructionist is the president's prerogative. There are many outstanding men in the South that would add luster to the court, and I'm just concerned that the president has not taken
a look
at those people.
How active do you intend to be as party chairman in opposing the Carswell nomination?
I believe that the activity regarding Mr. Carswell involving Democrats in the Senate should remain in the Senate, and the position of the Policy Committee has been made public. There are strong views in opposition to Mr. Carswell on the part of groups that have a long-time friendship with the Democratic Party, but in my judgment, this is a matter to be determined in the Senate.
Is that going to be your general policy, that there will be a pretty much a hands-off attitude as far as what Democrats in Congress do, and keep a sharp line between what they do, Democrats in Congress do, and what the Democratic Party downtown through its policy council says?
Well, let me say this, Mr. Broder, as you know, I've had a close association with the Congress for 8 years. I intend to maintain that association and rapport. I have looked to the Congress for leadership and guidance over these years, and I will continue to look to the Congress. The Congress certainly should play a key role in that regard, the Democrats in the Congress. By the same token, we will encourage voices across this nation, individually and collectively in all areas, because I believe that in the best interest of the Democratic Party, there should be an ongoing debate and discussion.
Mr. Novak.
Mr. O'Brien, the Democratic Policy Council has called on us, the U.S., that is, to get out of Vietnam in 18 months. Now, do you agree with that, and is that the official policy of the Democratic Party right now?
That is the view of the Policy Council, Mr. Novak. And in general, again, let me voice a personal opinion. As the Secretary of Defense, I too have visited Vietnam on two occasions in the last few months, and I have some views and some concerns regarding the administration's policy. Basically, my concern is that the premise for the administration's position at this time in Vietnam is the viability, if you will, of the South Vietnamese government. I just can't share that view. I find it awfully difficult to conclude that the administration has that view. I feel the administration has been less than aggressive in ensuring a broad base of participation among all groups in South Vietnam so that you could have some guarantee or some hope that in following the transition, the South Vietnamese government could carry on.
But that wasn't the question, Mr. O'Brien. The question is whether you agree with an 18-month deadline for getting out when, in fact, the House Democratic leadership does not agree with an 18-month deadline.
I believe that what you're talking about is an 18-month deadline for combat troops. from Vietnam. Now, there are all kinds of deadlines that have been proposed of one sort or another, but there is a common view, and I think it's shared by most Americans, and that is we should withdraw from Vietnam. And I certainly share that view. Now, as to the statistical aspects of it, the timetable and the rest, I have a view, and the view is that the premise for the withdrawal is faulty. And I would urge the administration to take a hard look at the South Vietnamese government in its current form. Now, let's be candid about this. I know, or I feel at least, that the Thu Khi government in South Vietnam felt very strongly that they would like to see a Republican victory in 1968. There's been a close relationship between this administration and the existing government, and I fear that that is causing the administration to fail to ensure the broad participation that I consider vital from my own observations in Vietnam to, in turn, have some real hope that the viable government could carry on after our absence.
Well, when Mr. Bliss came in as Republican National Chairman in 65 in a defeated, divided party, he just avoided these nasty questions of policy and stuck to the nuts and bolts.
I would have liked to avoid the nasty questions of policy, too. But no, seriously, Mr. Novak.
Why can't you avoid them?
No, Mr. Novak, I feel that the basic concept of organization in politics in America today is communication. And I don't believe that it is valid for the national chairman to urge people across this country to renew interest in our party and participate and suggest that communication is limited solely to a precinct count. I am not a policymaker. I am an administrator. I am an organizer. Hopefully, I can bring, in part at least, some divergent groups together to communicate. I will be looking to the Congress primarily for advice and guidance on policy. I will encourage discussions, however, to the fullest by all groups and individuals in the Democratic Party.
Mr. Bailey.
Mr. O'Brien, you said earlier that you thought that your party has the issues in this year's campaign. Aside from the emerging Democratic line that this administration is getting the country into economic trouble, and that's a premise that will be proved one way or the other, presumably, before November, what issues do you have?
Well, I think that we should not suggest aside from economic problems, because I consider the current situation domestically in this nation to be the primary issue in this year's campaign, and that is that we are on the brink of a recession, Mr. Bailey, in the midst of galloping inflation. We have an aura of neglect, and I think that this permeates this administration. And I might suggest that, in my judgment, in some instances, calculated neglect. And I'll be very happy to dwell on the various phases of this neglect and its impact on America across the board economically, because I do believe this is the major issue of 1970.
Let me ask you a nuts and bolts question. The Democrats have for years portrayed themselves as the party of the little guy. And yet, a very substantial amount of that $8.5 million debt that you have is obligations to pay back lenders who lent you money in 1968 in sums of $100,000 or more at a crack. You say now you're starting an effort to get financing from people of modest means. The Republicans have been doing this for a decade. What happened to the Democratic Party that it found itself so dependent on large contributions?
I'm not sure the Republicans have been doing this for a decade, and I think if any perusal of the Republican financial reports will show scores of people far beyond modest means, if you will, as major contributors to the Republican Party. I should point out that the cost of campaigning, primarily television costs, have escalated campaign procedures in this country to a point where there's a serious question in my mind about the continuing retention, if you will, of the two-party system. Now, for example, our debt, 75% of the debt the Democratic Party has currently, is due to payments that we made television networks in 1968 to try to cope with the Republican opposition. And I might say our total television costs in 1968 were less than half the Republicans. And now we're sitting here making pleas, and I make the plea again,
If you don't mind, because...
I want to tell you, the last man who made that plea was Harold Stassen.
Well, Harold Stassen perhaps wasn't very successful in that regard, but let me say this, that we are a major party. 75% of our debt represents payments we made to American television. And I'm rather appalled, Mr. Bailey. Recently, my predecessor asked to purchase time from the television networks to present our case to the American people and solicit funds. And one major network flatly refused to allow that purchase of time. And let me just sum up by saying, I'm not going to stand idly by and allow that to happen. They'll be hearing further from me.
Well,
I should also add it was not this network.
What would you suggest if this is such a bad problem? I would think you ought to be trying to sit down with the Republican National Chairman and work out something to take this financial burden off the backs of people in both parties.
Well, as a matter of fact, as you undoubtedly know, some conversations were initiated by Senator Harris. I understand that they did not proceed very far. We've asked repeatedly for mutual effort from the Republicans, for example, in the federal financing of presidential elections. And I feel very deeply about this. And you can anticipate I will have a good deal to say about this in the very near future, because in my judgment, you cannot continue this process under these circumstances. There must be some kind of provision made to ensure equity and equality, if you will, in the presentation of views and candidates to the two major parties. And in all Canada, the Democratic Party cannot cope with the Republican Party in this private financing area.
In terms of the financing, of that $8.5 million, how much do you think you're going to have to get lenders or to write off in terms of working down that debt?
As far as I know, and an audit is ongoing, and Mr. Strauss obviously could report to you more specifically, as far as I know, all of the debt is legitimate debt, and it's our intention to do everything humanly possible to defray that debt in a legitimate manner.
I wasn't suggesting
that... Mr. O'Brien, may I ask you a question about Vietnam? The Democratic president got us deeply involved in Vietnam. How do you fault? How will the Democratic Party fault a Republican who's getting us out? I just don't see how you're going to make much of an issue of that.
Well, let me say this, Mr. Spivak. I have felt over 8 years that there should be very little partisanship in discussing Vietnam, and I feel that way today. I do, however, want to express concerns that are shared by others that really I think should be expressed. For example, this administration has now been in office 14 months. I have not determined the specific program of this administration in specific detail. I don't think it has been spelled out to the American people. We have at least the specter of the possibility of further involvement in Laos. We have an empty chair in Paris for a chief negotiator, and this chair has been empty for one-third of the period that Mr. Nixon has been president. And we have, again, this deep and valid concern about the viability of the existing government in South Vietnam. Now, I'm not trying to make political hay, if you will.
But you Democrats supported that government. You supported that government. You were there when that government came
in. If you hark back to the statements of Mr. Humphrey during the 1968 campaign, you will see specifically that we had plans ongoing to ensure the full participation that is vital to carry on this government in South Vietnam.
Mr. Duke.
I understand, Mr. O'Brien, that when Hubert Humphrey first offered you the job of national chairman, he indicated you were not his personal choice, but were the choice of a substantial majority of party leaders. Is that correct?
Let me say that when I determined not to accept the suggestion that my name be placed before the Democratic National Committee, it was based to some extent at least on a view that I had that there did not appear to be a clear majority or consensus which would be essential for a new chairman. I must say this, that in my judgment, Mr. Humphrey, the titular head of our party, acquitted himself well, as he always has, in discharging his responsibility to bring about a recommendation that would be represent some consensus. I think that he has been faulted unfairly in this regard. He has carried on his responsibilities as titular head of the party in this area and in other areas to the fullest.
But did
I expect he will continue, and I'll be looking toward his leadership as I go along.
But did you turn down the job the first time because you felt that you didn't have the wholehearted support of Mr. Humphrey for the job?
Oh, no.
Mr. Broder.
Mr. O'Brien, do you support the recommendations of the McGovern Commission for reform of the Democratic Party nominating procedures?
I had a fine conversation with Senator McGovern a few days ago, Mr. Broder, and apparently the commission's activities are on schedule. It is anticipated that a final report will be printed very soon. The commission has advised the entities in the various states. Some 20 states have already been working in the area of change in their state party constitution. Some 40 states are actively engaged, but only one state has bipartisan activity, and it happens to be my home state of Massachusetts. I mention that because the Republicans, obviously, are not interested in full delegate selection participation. And here, from here on, the Democratic National Committee will provide professional service to the states, advising and counseling as they proceed.
Mr. Novak.
The commission headed by Congressman O'Hara has got a pending proposal, which they have not yet approved, which would drastically reduce the proportion of delegates to the next national convention from the southern states. Do you approve of that?
I'm not familiar with that proposal, Mr. Novak. I am scheduled to have a long discussion with Congressman O'Hara and some members of the commission within the next week, and I will obviously be interested in being thoroughly briefed.
Well, there's some national Democratic leaders who have said that the party cannot carry any of the southern states in the foreseeable future, and
I'm not one of them.
You think you can carry some southern states in 72?
Do.
Which ones?
A number of them, and I'm not foreclosing any.
Mr. Bailey.
Mr. O'Brien, as national chairman, would you like to give us your rating of the candidates for 72, the Democratic presidential possibilities? Who are they and where do they stand?
We have a number of them, Mr. Bailey, and they stand tall.
Would you like to name some of them for us?
I think you're as familiar with some of them as I am, and I believe there are probably others that you and I might overlook in this discussion. And I'm not about to overlook leaders in the Democratic Party in this context or any other context,
but let me say
I am very comfortable with the situation. We have outstanding leaders in the party, and we'll have no difficulty providing an outstanding ticket to carry on the party.
Let me ask you specifically, do you regard Senator Kennedy of Massachusetts as a potential presidential candidate in 1972?
I certainly would not foreclose that.
How about former Vice President Humphrey?
The same applies there.
And Senator Muskie of Maine?
The same.
Have you got any others on your little list?
I have a fairly long list, and I'll be happy to discuss other names with you in the future.
We have less than 4 minutes, gentlemen. Mr. O'Brien, may I ask you this question? The Democratic Party was badly fractured in 1968 by the fight among Senators McCarthy, Robert Kennedy, McGovern, and Vice President Humphrey. What promise of support have you had from McCarthy and McGovern and other supporters of Robert Kennedy to help unify the party?
Substantial, Mr. Spivak, or I wouldn't be sitting here now.
Mr. Duke.
Mr. O'Brien, the predecessor in your job, Senator Harris, made it quite plain that he felt the Democratic Party should adhere strongly to a liberal course. Do you feel the same way?
I think the Democratic Party today must spell out to the silent majority, if you will, that I keep hearing about, specifically what the situation is regarding this administration. I don't know how we can be talking in this context as we sit here with the fantastic escalation in crime in this country when a person with a $13,000 income can no longer purchase a home, when a $20,000 home today with a 30-year mortgage represents $35,000 in interest rates, when that $35,000 goes only to the banker, not to the builder, the seller, the worker, or anyone else. And with all of this ongoing, as I said, clearly on the brink of a serious recession in the midst of galloping inflation, I don't believe that the Democratic Party need look from within to determine what areas of discussion we should engage in. It is clear to me that the Democratic Party can look to what I said at the outset, not so benign neglect of the silent majority. And let me just add one more sentence. I hear about silent majority. I rather think these people across America, whose very livelihoods are being destroyed, 1 million more unemployed this year, all of these people are not silent.
this administration hasn't been listening. The Democratic Party is listening, and I'd like to hear from those people because we want to communicate with them.
Mr. Broder.
Mr. O'Brien, if the Democrats do as well this fall as you predict, do you think we can safely count on John McCormick being Speaker again?
I would say, as I've always said, and two presidents that I've served have said, that the matter of the organization, the House of Representatives, is within the province of the House of Representatives. But let me add this. I am very pleased this afternoon to be able to point to the progress that is being made on the 18-year-old voting, because this has been an issue advocated by the Democratic Party for a decade, and my prediction is that overwhelmingly the Democratic leaders and the Democratic members in the House will be supporting this.
1 minute, Mr. Novak.
Mr. O'Brien, as national chairman, do you plan to follow the example of Senator Harris in trying to get Mayor Lindsay of New York into the Democratic Party?
I would say this, that is a matter of conscience with Mayor Lindsay, and he'll have to make his own determination.
You won't ask
I don't anticipate any conversations with Mayor Lindsay in this regard.
Would you welcome him into the Democratic Party?
All are welcome. All are welcome.
But some more than others?
All are welcome.
Mr. Bailey, very short.
If what you say about this administration's performance is true, Mr. O'Brien, why is the president standing so high in the polls?
I would say, as a distinguished Midwestern senator said the other day, that his support is perhaps a mile wide, but it's an inch deep.
Well, on that note, I'm afraid we're going to have to end. Our time is up. I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. O'Brien, thank you for being with us today on Meet the Press.
Thank you.
I'll tell you about next week's guest in just a minute after this message.
25,000 Americans killed in drunk driving crashes last year. Does anybody care? You bet they care. Allstate is convinced that people want something done to cut the traffic slaughter. Recently, Allstate began a series of public messages pointing out the terrible danger of the drunk driver. Messages like this: the drunk driver may kill you. And this one: the drunk driver. Know him and you'll fear him. As a result, hundreds of thousands of citizens wrote to their state officials supporting stronger drunk driving laws. Allstate also offered this action kit containing more information about how to help stop the traffic slaughter. We've already mailed over 500,000 of these kits. You see, people do care. For your free copy, write to the safety director, Allstate Insurance Companies, Northbrook, Illinois.
For a printed copy of today's interview, send 10 cents in coin and a stamp, self-addressed envelope to Merkle Press, Box 2111, Washington, D.C., 20013. That's Merkle Press, Box 2111, Washington, D.C., 20013.
Next Sunday on Meet the Press, our guest will be Arthur J. Goldberg, former Supreme Court Justice, U.N. Ambassador, and Secretary of Labor. Now, this is Lawrence Spivak saying goodbye for Lawrence F. O'Brien and Meet the Press.
Today's edition of Meet the Press was brought to you by Sperry Rand, the synergistic company, the company that does a lot more than you think. New Holland, Remington, Remington Rand, Sperry, Univac, Vickers.